Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 786. This is your host, Danny, and also joining us, we have the whole Gamertag Radio crew finally up in here on a Wednesday, right? We have Paris here, man. Paris, what's up, man?
Hey, good evening. How's everybody?
Good, man. Good. How's been the few days that ever since we released our last episode? It's been good? Been great.
Let's put it this way. I put out a tweet that said, if you like to comment on controversial topics or have opinions on it, something I said, I go, you better have thick skin and be okay with people disagreeing with you. A lot of people have disagreed with me in the past few days.
But isn't that always with you? Isn't it always? It happens.
It's just, I find it funny, but I know we'll talk about this stuff later.
All right. And also we have Pete, man. What's going on, Pete?
Yo, what's up, dude?
What's up, man?
How are you, fellas?
Good, man. Getting ready for my trip in 2 days. You're flying out too.
Same here.
Right.
Yep. I hit the tarmac tomorrow at 9 a.m. and I will be wheels down in San Francisco around noon. So
why are you going to San Francisco?
None of your business.
Thank you. That's a great answer.
If you knew, if you were there, if you were going, then I would tell you, but you're not going. So
yeah, you don't need to know. It's a private trip. Secret.
I really don't know. I don't know if there are any NDAs or whatever, but I am going for a...
Nope, don't say
for
it.
For an event.
Don't say it.
Just going for an
it's
event?
It's okay that you're going to go to the Battlefield 5 review event.
Oh, wow.
I didn't want to say anything about me going to you know, they invited me to go see Destiny 2 Forsaken and not you. I really didn't want to throw that out there. So, you know, because you're being rude, I'm just going to go ahead and put your business out.
Chris will be crying. It's like, why Pete? Why not me? Set up to Battlegrounds. Anything else, but not Destiny. Head over to GamertagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback over there. Also, you could share it. Share the content, your friends. You can also find us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, of course, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so before we start this different topics here, very quick, I'm very curious about this because we had this quick little convo on Twitter because Paris talked about demo disc, and I think he mentioned his favorite one on Twitter. Paris, let's go from there, man. Your favorite demo disc, it could be from magazines, it could be from even from the console, because back then, consoles used to bring like free disc back in the days and stuff. So and P2, if you guys have any free demo disc back in the days.
I like how he states the rules of what I'm allowed to talk about and not talk about, of where it comes from. I can pick whatever I want.
right.
No, but because it came up, got to give a shout out to Tony Polanco over at Coalition. He's the one that actually tweeted about it, and then I commented and said my favorite OXM disc of all time was that Splinter Cell demo, the original Splinter Cell for the original Xbox. Love that. But then he brought up something which made me realize I didn't get it from a magazine. I got it from Funko Land, I think it was called back then, which is now GameStop, is the Metal Gear Solid 2. Remember that demo? Oh, that was probably the greatest demo ever made.
I never played that one.
Oh my God. Because you never played that one. I seem to remember, I want to say I had to pre-order Metal Gear Solid 2 or whatever it was. I think I had to pre-order it. I forget. It was something you had to do to get the disc. It was like a crazy thing you had to do to get the disc from Funko Land. And then I remember I probably played that thing like 200 times. Like I knew that whole demo level backwards and forwards, and then got to play the whole game, and then you're riding for 90% of it and it sucked. But the demo was awesome. I would say it's a tie between that and Splinter Cell.
You know, I remember this one.
from PlayStation Magazine, Final Fantasy VII demo disc. That's a classic. I played that so many times. Pumped for that game. Also, I remember too, back in the days, OXM, they had a demo disc of Final Fantasy Online. I played that a lot for free with my brother and friends. I think was it for the 360? I think this was a 360 back then. Another one. Oh my God. I'm going to take even way back. Do you remember this? That back in the days, they had Xbox Live Arcade disc for free. You could pick it up at the retail stores. And in the game for free, they had the original Pac-Man game. And you'll play for free on your original Xbox. This is when they were still trying to figure out about the whole Xbox Live Arcade. Back in the days. So, Pete, what about you, man?
For me, I'd have to say, first and foremost, PT from PlayStation. Eventually became Silent Hills. It was designed and developed by Kojima in conjunction with Guillermo del Toro. It was downloaded like a million times.
That's not a disc.
That's not a disc, Pete.
Does it have to be a disc, though?
Yes. We're old.
Why? It's a demo. No. No, he said demo.
I said demo disc.
Disc.
Pete.
God of War 3 from God of War collection.
I can't believe he said PT.
Move on to the next topic.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to end the show. F you guys.
I can't believe we're like demo disc PT. I'm looking like, yo, what year is this?
he's all, you know, Halo 5 demo I downloaded yesterday. It's a disc.
Pete, you had a Dreamcast. You had all these games. You never had a demo disc?
I never had a Dreamcast. Don't tell me what I own.
I thought you did have. You said you were going to give me a disc, a Dreamcast. No. Yeah.
No. No.
Oh, my God.
No, I get what the thing is, but I don't recall having a.
Back in the day, if you got a demo, get a disc like from a magazine or the store or whatever to try out a game. What was your favorite one?
I didn't get those magazines. I wasn't.
Oh my God! Well,
exactly.
he's not a fan of demo disc. Everybody attack Pete at Pete Rock on Twitter.
Yes. There we go.
All right. Here goes. So. First thing first, let's talk about the Santa Monica studio that Microsoft's been working on behind the scenes.
You know that's your favorite word, by the way.
I love that.
Behind the scenes.
Every damn thing you talk about is behind the scenes.
But this is good, man. Because, yo, they got a lot of developers from other studios that worked on Red Dead Redemption, Tomb Raider, God of War, and so on. Your thoughts about this, because it seems that Microsoft is really, really going out, not for this generation, but I think it's going to be for the next generation. Your thoughts?
Well, like you and I, we had this conversation offline already, but if you look at what Microsoft is doing, it's not about this generation for them anymore. Sure, we'll get another Gears of War, there'll be a Forza 8, things like that to close out the Xbox One generation. But everything they're doing is preparing for 2020, when they launch the next Xbox. Most likely, it's probably going to launch with Halo and probably the Forza Horizon 5 or something like that, right? But what are they doing post the first year? That's where the Santa Monica studio is coming in. The Santa Monica studio is going to probably wind up being their premier studio. They're going to create a brand new IP, and they're just cultivating the top talent from around the industry to work at the studio. And they're going to just give them the space and the time they need to make an amazing new IP game that can be the next big franchise, and it's going to get people to want to jump into the Xbox ecosystem. It's the right move. It's the smart move for them to do, to add a huge studio like this to their portfolio. I think even when it was rumored, they weren't even calling it AAA. They were calling it quadruple A studio. That's where they're trying to go with this. So you kind of look at the rumors and the whispers of people that are coming on board there. And I won't take your shine, Danny, because you had the great theory about one person, which I know leads into another topic, who may be leaving their company and going to that studio, which if you think about it, makes perfect sense. So I'm actually excited to see what'll come out of that studio. I would guess we probably would get a sneak peek of whatever they're working on the year that they announced the new console, because they're going to want to show off Halo and then a sneak peek at whatever the future is. You know what I mean? So I would imagine that would be that Santa Monica studio.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the names and the people that they brought over. Let's, I mean, Daryl Gallagher, we already know, Activision, Crystal Dynamics, Sony, Square Enix, and THQ. We've got Blake Fisher, former senior director of portfolio and planning at Microsoft, Brian Westergaard, God of War, senior managing producer, lead and senior producer for Rise of the Tomb Raider, Christian Cantamessa from Red Dead Redemption and Shadow of Mordor, lead writer and designer, which I think is going to be key and critical. Someone who is a good writer, someone who can create a special narrative for whatever IP this is that they're going to be working on. And then you have another person from Rise of the Tomb Raider. You got Daniel Newberg, who's a co-director of Tomb Raider and Rise of the Tomb Raider, along with a couple of background people from Crystal Dynamics, Microsoft, Respawn, Riot. It's a strong beginning, right? And again, I think the signing of Christian Cantamessa is going to be very, very important for whatever IP that, you know, they have under wraps and whatever's in development at this point, because you want to have something that captures the hearts of your gamers. And it's going to be interesting to see what they come up with.
Yeah, and I think that once the not next year, but the year 2020, E3 2020, they should maybe tease what they're planning to do for the future of that console and the games that they've been working on, because to get the audience hype right before they buy the console the year that comes out in 2020.
Doesn't that go counter to what you were talking about at the beginning of the year, where you don't like it?
No, that's different, Pete. I said update. That's different, because I said updates. If there's updates, that's fine. But if you announce it and there's nothing else, that's not good. How are you going to compare that to PlayStation that announced games years ago and has never been talked about? Nothing has been delayed and there's no communication. How's that the same?
It's not the same. We don't have a date. We don't know what they're doing. So right now we're just discussing.
But you brought that up, so I'm defending myself. How that's the same? You're saying this the same. So I'm
your complaint at the beginning.
Yeah.
Of this year was companies I'm not even going to say the names. Regardless, companies teasing things way, way in advance. You wanted companies to announce things and they be out that calendar year. No.
What I said, and if you can, Pete, go dig up the podcast and make sure to listen what I said. I said this. If a company announced something and they stay quiet, that's not cool. If they announce something, let's say a teaser, right? And then there's updates every time there's like an event or the next E3, then that's fine. But if you announce something and then there's 4 years has passed and you haven't said anything else, where's the communication? Remember, you have to.
Why the hell are we talking about this?
Pete brought it up. I'm just.
Don't listen to Pete. Ignore Pete. This is moving.
Oh my God. I don't have demo discs, so just so why
exactly? You don't even know what a demo disc is. Why are we arguing?
Exactly. Jesus. All right. So yeah, I think if. Because this is my theory. My theory is, I think that Paris says that the console will come out 2020, which makes sense, the new console, right? And then you said Halo, it will launch with Halo for that generation. 2021, maybe Gears? Am I correct?
Yeah, we talked about this, but I disagree.
Because every two years.
I don't think it'll be. I think they won't do it every 2 years. They're going to do Gears 6 in 2021. The only reason we're getting Gears 5 in 2019 is because Halo wasn't ready, and they were like, let's just turn around Gears, give everybody one last thing for Xbox One. I think they'll extend Gears 6 or whatever the hell it'll be, won't come back that quickly. I don't think so. That's a fast turnaround, man.
Really?
I have a question. What are the chances of Microsoft and the Initiative, that's the name of the group, right?
The Initiative, company, yeah.
This new studio, the Initiative. there's a recently unemployed writer director by the name of Amy Hennig.
No, but she, well, okay. I read that she wants to do like an independent studio. She didn't want to deal with AAA titles, none of that again, man. I tell you, it's the same thing with Cliff.
But remember,
Cliff left he got tired of that.
Yeah, we unfortunately we all know how that turned out, how that panned out. Unfortunately, yeah. Right? I mean, but I think this, although she did say that she would rather go indie because you get more appreciation, you don't have to worry about the high level bureaucracy and red tape from a corporation. Something like this might be able to tease her back into the fold. Just because we're talking, she's going to have cream of the crop talent surrounding her if she were to go on board here, right? I'm just throwing this out as a potential, as you know, what if, you know, Miss Cleo, way early for next year. But I'm just saying, I think this would be an excellent opportunity for her, and I'm pretty sure Microsoft and everybody over there this has already gone through one of those little whiteboard sessions. Why not Amy Hennig?
But let's talk about EA because it's part of our topics here and stuff, man. And I had this conversation with Paris the other day. Paris asked me, he was like, Danny, what was the last EA game that you were really, really hype about? Because right now we really don't have anything. Like, I'm not a hardcore Battlefield fan, you know. I don't care about the sports games. And I think I brought up Burnout. He also Timefall. He brought up Timefall 2. And there was a time that EA was like Ubisoft, nonstop games, Dead Space. What was the one that you played, Peter? You went to Canada for it. Was it Army of Two? This also was Skate, NBA Home Court. There was a lot of games that got me excited, even Fight Night. Now I feel like EA, I don't know where they're headed, like where they're going with their games. I don't know, man. I'm not excited at all for EA, dude. Zero hype for EA right now. And I know everybody's talking about Anthem and everything, but still, I still don't see it, man. Paris.
Why are you not talking about the one thing that's related to Microsoft? I'm trying to give you, I led you right into it.
Microsoft. Oh, about Patrick?
Yes.
Okay, well, what's his last name? Patrick?
Patrick Soderlund.
So he was the former DICE CEO. He left the company. I think they were trying to pay him $22 million for him to stay. And he was like, nah, I'm good. And he left the company. Usually, maybe, probably he got bored of what was going on with EA. He probably wanted to try something new. Because he was getting paid a lot. I think it was like, how many?
Let me correct you on that. He hasn't left yet. He still has 3 months left on his employment there to help fill in the role, help train up whoever they're going to bring in, whether it's internal or
external. That's in every company. Yeah, you're right. That's true.
Yeah, the $20 million bonus is what he got last year. Which brought his total overall salary to $48 million as what people were thinking as an enticement to stick around. Mm-hmm. But he's leaving, and the rumor is he's leaving for something outside of video games.
Oh, outside of video games. Okay, because I mentioned to Paris, what if he goes to the Santa Monica studio and tries something totally new? That's what I thought, but I guess I might be wrong.
But would that be something new?
Yes, because it's a new studio. It's a brand new, fresh studio. And at the end of the day, it's all about the money, right? So maybe Microsoft is just getting a lot of these big, well-known talents to leave their current job and go to their studio because at the same time, they're getting paid more money, man. And this is like something fresh. And honestly, a lot of people love that, man. When they go to a new job, a lot of developers that want to try new things and never know. Maybe that was my theory, but I might be wrong. I didn't know that he wanted to try something new outside of gaming.
Yeah, that's the rumor. That's what people are speculating at right now, is that he's going to do something outside of the video game space. Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, he's had an amazing run going all the way back to 97 when he headed up Refraction Games, which eventually turned into DICE. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, obviously the purchase of DICE by EA, him being, you know, boosted up to CEO of DICE, and then eventually VP, executive vice president of EA. So that's, he's had an amazing run, and it's going to be a massive loss, because, I mean, he was basically, like I say, he was a technical person behind it, but he led the charge behind the Frostbite engine. And it's essentially in use everywhere across, you know, EA, and it's a phenomenal engine for gaming. So it's a massive loss for EA, and it's going to be interesting to see where they go, who takes over the reins for that.
You guys want to say anything about EA, your thoughts? Or no?
Well, it was like I said, I asked you the question because, I mean, realistically, I would say the last game that I was excited about from EA that actually lived up to the hype was Mass Effect 2. Have there been games since then that initially I was excited about? Of course, I mean, obviously, original Titanfall, Titanfall 2. You know, I was excited to see what, you know, what Star Wars Battlefront was going to be when that came back. You know, even like when Battlefield 4 was coming out, when the new consoles first came out, I was excited about that, but ultimately none of those games actually lived up to the hype behind them. We obviously know the recent history with the Mass Effect Andromeda fiasco that happened. We're still on a big wait and see with Anthem. Wouldn't hold my breath personally. I mean, you know, they've had some success with like an indie game like Unravel. I mean, that was phenomenal, but a big AAA game that's come out of EA outside of Madden or FIFA, I mean, it just has not been there in the past decade for me. And I'm talking on a personal level. I'm sure there's people out there that enjoy all those games. But for me personally, yeah, it just has not been there. I just wonder, and especially like being at EA Play this year, and I was in the crowd, and halfway through, I'm asking myself, what the hell am I doing here? What are they doing? It's like I literally was asking myself as I stood there. I don't understand what EA is doing. EA, for me, does not have anything on the horizon right now that gets me excited. Just doesn't. I mean, Battlefield 5 is about to come out. We'll see, you know, we'll see what it is, but it's World War II. Is it World War II this year?
Well, for Battlefield?
Yeah, they went to World War II, right? The fact that we even got to scratch our heads and guess, it says it all right there. But that just goes to my point. I'll be curious to see what that Battle Royale mode looks like, but I'm not jumping up and down excited for this year's Battlefield. And, you know, who knows what the Respawn Star Wars game is going to be when that comes out. I mean, like I said, Anthem, a lot's riding on Anthem for them. I mean, like I said, they have FIFA and Madden, you know, on lock as far as the sports go. But beyond that, dude, I mean, I just don't know. I don't know.
Do you remember the days that when we used to go to E3, we'll go to EA's press conference, and right after EA's, we'll go to Ubisoft. And there was a couple of years that we were like, "Yo, this press conference is strong, man. This is good. Even better than Microsoft, man." Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember it, Danny. Oof, ever since the donuts, it ain't been right.
That is true.
Think about it. Ever since we went to the donut presentation, and they had nothing to show, literally nothing to show. It ain't been right since.
That was the year that they showed what was the Battlefield? It was like cops and robbers. Was it like that?
Hardline. Battlefield Hardline.
Hardline. There you go.
BioWare had concepts for an upcoming game that eventually became Anthem. That was that year. That was basically the first. Oh my
God, that was a long time ago.
Was 2014. 2014.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, man. It's strange. I'm telling you, man, ever since Peter Moore left the company, it was going downhill, man. I don't know. I hope it changes in the future, man. Because I really enjoy that time where EA was just showing nonstop games. Now we'll go to EA Play, and now they have mobile games on stage. It's weird.
Yeah, I just did not. I just don't understand the direction that they're going right now. But again, we'll see. Hopefully, hopefully we're all, you know, people will just be mad at us in 6 months and go, I told you EA was going to be great. Look at all this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We should stop being negative.
Oh, yeah.
We should.
Oh.
We should. Everything is perfectly fine, man. You know, butterflies and birds flying around. Everything is perfect, you know.
Yet you bring that up. I think you should just go into that now, personally.
Yeah? You want to play that voicemail?
Yeah.
Play that voicemail, Pete.
I'll do it.
Oh, right. Wait, hold on. Fan mail, early edition.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Behind the scenes from Dan. Here we go.
Yeah, how y'all doing? It's Chuck from VA. Y'all take suggestions and criticism. I used to listen to y'all religiously. You know, and then I stopped for a while. And then y'all went to 2 days a week. And then I loved it. You know, I drive a truck for a living. Give me something to listen to. Blah, blah, blah. But it just seems, you ever get tired of so much negativity that's in this world? You know, you just fed up with it. It's everywhere you turn is negativity. You know, I listen to podcasts, gamers podcasts. You hear good news, chat. See, you got the same, you know, site, you know, or, you know, views on games, whatever not. It just seems all lately, y'all just so negativity. You know, I mean, today I just listened to y'all for the first time for a while, and then you went right back to it, you know, with that dude that's copying other people. Ninja, who cares, you know? Let's focus on the good things. Screw the bad things. You know, for the kids that listen, you don't want to be one of those people. You know, you want to enjoy what you got in front of you. I don't know. I mean, I hope y'all talk about this in the next one. Y'all be listening. And, y'all stay safe, all right?
Please. We're good? All right. So, first of all, I just want to say this. Thank you for calling. I know you stopped listening, you came back, and all that stuff, so that's good. So thank you for listening, and thank you for sending the voicemail. Now, here's the thing that I want to say to everybody, that, you know, we release the episode about, you know, Ninja, the conversation, what up at the end. I didn't even put it as a title. I just put it up there, you know. We were getting a lot of emails, a lot of tweets, Facebook messages from listeners, longtime listeners that they've never emailed us at all throughout for years. Maybe it's their first time emailing us because they just got heated about the conversation. But Chuck, that's his name, Chuck. He said he is tired by the negativity, but he only will call for the first time now because there was something that he just didn't like. To me, that's negativity, right? I mean, that's the same thing. But here's the thing. Where were you and where were everybody else that never sent in a voicemail, never emailed us when we released so much great content? Just a couple weeks ago, I had conversation with Jason Schreier. Great conversation. Vibing. We had a great time. I recorded stuff from New York City, us at E3. One of my favorite episodes from Cyberpunk, about Cyberpunk 2077. A full hour of just us being hype about that game. I didn't get, you know, emails from a lot of these new listeners or longtime listeners about that. You know, like I'm the type of person that I love to engage with everybody. Every time I go to every single city, I do a little meetup. I meet up with the listeners. I went to New York, did the screening. There was listeners there. You know what I'm saying? So it's cool when people give us feedback. I don't mind that, but I feel like people are taking things like the conversation that we're having way too personal, and they would just curse Paris on Twitter because of something that they don't agree. That's not cool. And I just got really fed up this week because everybody was just hitting us up and I didn't even reply. I'm like, you know what? It's just a conversation. There's stuff that we don't agree. And I think that's great. Imagine if all of us agreed about the same thing when we record a podcast. I will find that extremely boring as a listener if all of us agree about the same thing. Yeah, Pete, I like this game. Yeah, Pete, Paris, I like this game too. Like, come on. We always going to disagree. I don't take things personal, man. you know, earlier I was just debating with Pete about some stuff here in the podcast. It's just a conversation, man. We're just having fun with this, man. You know? So I just want to say that piece. I'm going to move on. But P and Paris, if you guys want to say your part, I'm good with that.
Well, here's the thing. I actually agree with what he said in the voicemail in this sense. We should not talk about on the podcast all this. We shouldn't harp on the negative stuff, on the gossip, because obviously I caught it because of the ninja thing. And at the end of the day, it's freaking gossip is what it really is, right? And I'm just going to restate it really quick so that people will 100% understand where I stand on this thing with Ninja. I saw Ninja's official response to it. I actually retweeted it and said, I respect it. I respect that for him, he is doing what he needs to do to protect his family, protect his marriage and all that. None of us can invade that and tell him what to do as far as that goes, because I'll be damned if anybody come here and tell me what to do with me and Roxanne, because that's just not going to happen. Right. So I understand that and I respect that. Just going back to Pete's point, it is his stream. Do whatever the hell he wants to do. Again, it's on him. But I will say for me, he took something that was private. It became public, whether it was on purpose or not. It did become public, which being a celebrity opens you up to that criticism and scrutiny. Right. Yep. I was asked my opinion. So you guys know me. I will give my opinion and I will be 100% honest about my opinion. I said it's silly. I still think it's silly, but I respect that he's doing what he feels he needs to do. But at the same time, I still think it's silly that you exclude all women. I do. And did I bring up Black people, Korean people, and gay people in my conversation? Yep, I did. Because for me, it's all the same. It really is. People call me racist, which I think is hilarious. But you call it racist, whatever you want, that's fine. Because like Danny said, I don't take any of this stuff personal. I really don't. Because I know that me opening my mouth on this podcast opens me up to that same criticism. So if I can dish it, I better be able to take it, right? That's why I tweeted earlier this week, have thick skin if you're going to do this, really. You cannot let take this personal and get upset about it or anything. Half the time I'm laughing. But I will say this, if you come on my Twitter timeline and your first response to me is F-bombs, I'm just going to mute you. I don't have time for that. Why would I engage with someone that can't show me the same respect that I would show them? Because I'm not cursing at you. I'm not cursing on this podcast. But you think it's okay to curse at me on my timeline? Do it if you want, because then I'm just mute you and you're talking to the air, really. And that's on you. You know, I'm an adult. I'm an old man. Look, let's put it this way. I've had some good friends of mine that don't agree with what I said, and they straight up called me out on it. We had conversations about it. End of the day, we walked away, may not have agreed, but we walked away from it and we're still friends, because you can have a mature conversation about this stuff. But I do go back to what my original point. We probably shouldn't have talked about the ninja thing at all on the podcast, because to me, it's gossip and we shouldn't be talking about gossip anyways. Now, now old Philip or Flip or whatever the hell you call him with the plagiarism. 100% we should talk about that, because that affects our industry. That's a big topic. And it's only gotten worse since we talked about it last week. I mean, this guy is just a habitual plagiarizer. I mean, he can't even help himself. Hell, he plagiarizes on resume on LinkedIn. That's how bad he is. He's been plagiarizing. So that absolutely is something we should talk about. And I'll just end it by saying this. I appreciate all the feedback that we have gotten. You know, like I said, it's been about 50-50. Half people want to agree, half people want to disagree. It's all an opinion at the end of the day.
Of course.
No one's wrong in this. It's your opinion. You're allowed to believe and think what you want to think. And all I'm saying is respect that we also have opinions on here too. They're not always going to be unicorns and rainbows. Sometimes they're going to delve into negative topics. And I would say to the person that left the voicemail that sparked all this, you admitted yourself, you only started listening to that last episode and it went right back into something negative. Go back and listen to the episode before that. We're just talking about straight up video games. Hell, even in that episode, how do we kick it off? We're talking about Voltron. We're talking about we hype for Red Dead, all that stuff. So it's not the negative show, but there was a negative segment in it. And mm-hmm. I think that's what makes us us, is we're not afraid to talk about whatever topics we want to talk about, you know, because at the end of the day, if you've been listening to us all these years, we're going to keep it 100 every time. You know, I know I am anyways. I know Danny and Peter will as well. So I think you have to take both the positive and the negative as we're people just like you. And I am done. I'm a curse. So beep this out. I'm not going to come in here and beat you anytime. I'm going to tell you my honest 100% opinion on anything, whether it be good, bad, controversial, or whatever, because it's me. The same dude that's talking to you right now is the same dude. If you meet me in person, I'm going to be. Anyone that has met me at a PAX or any convention will tell you the same. I'm the same dude, and I always will be. Mm-hmm. So I know I got long winded, Pete. Please jump in, say something, because I talk too much. There you go.
I think, again, criticism at the end of the day is what we all thrive and need, regardless of where we're at in our positions, whether it's at work, whether we're Ninja, whether we're Gamertag Radio, whomever, and anywhere in between. We take the criticism for what it is. It's criticism. It's another person's opinion. We take it simply because it helps us become better podcasters, better people. I accept his criticisms. You know, it's not for everybody. Obviously, we saw it was like a 50-50 split of decisions and reactions to what we did. Probably right. Probably something we could have left for probably an after show, not something for the official podcast, because this really doesn't push the industry. It doesn't make it any better. And like, you know, like Paris said, focus on the Phillips situation versus this Ninja Polygon article. So I think I'm going to leave it at that. I think we've given this this whole topic and more than enough shine, but thank you for the call. I may have sounded a little flippant earlier when I, you know, I said too much negativity and apologize for that. But again, like Paris said, we're going to keep it real 100 each and every time. And I think that's what makes our podcast one of the best out there, is because the people you see here on the Twitch stream, or you hear in your ears, whether you're in the car, you're in the stereo, you know, you're in your room or wherever, same people that you're going to talk to if you meet us in the streets. So, you know, again, thank you to those that listened, regardless of whether we agree or disagree on the situation. But using this as helpful criticism, we will use this and we'll learn from this experience and use that experience to make this show better in the future. And try to avoid those negative innuendos and situations in the future.
Yep, I agree. And I'll say one last thing, and this is super.
No, serious. Move on.
No.
You have to have last one word.
This is super important. This is super important. This is very important. You know, there are times that I don't agree with Paris and I don't agree with Pete, but because of their opinions, certain companies make changes because of their opinion. And even that I disagree with. You know, they went to events. They didn't like certain things in the game. They talked about it on a podcast. There's developers that came up to us at events and say, I like you guys are like that. It pushes to make the product better. And sometimes you have to give your feedback, good or bad, in order for the product and even for our industry and for us as the consumers to get better stuff in the future. But if we all saying everything is great, I feel like we're not pushing the industry forward. That's what I have to say. So, all right. So, Pete, this is a good one. Diablo 3. One of your favorite games that you played, I think, on, was it on Xbox? And
many
PC?
Moons ago.
Was it on Xbox. Xbox?
No, it was on Xbox. I didn't play it on PC.
On Xbox. They're coming out for the Nintendo Switch. Now, shout out to Forbes for leaking this, because originally they were going to announce this by the time you hear this tomorrow. They were going to announce this, but it got leaked. They posted the news article up, the announcement, and they deleted. So yeah, Diablo 3 is coming to the Switch, Nintendo Switch, this year. I think that's dope. I might pick it up. I don't know. Thinking about it.
I think it's great for those that have missed out Diablo 3, because it is a phenomenal game. I haven't played it in years, mm-hmm. but you know, when I played it, when it came out for Xbox, mm-hmm. it was basically what got me out of the shooter rut, and I loved it for that because it was different than what I normally played. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'll pick it up on Switch. I think it's already passed. Again, if you haven't played Diablo 3, it is an excellent opportunity for you to pick it up. I just don't think it's something for me in 2018. I think there's going to be way too many games coming out over the next 6 to 9 months.
Of course, yeah.
Even if I got it, I wouldn't play it. Because I'd have too much things in my catalog.
And I agree with you. I think that I know this is the thing that I notice about especially Nintendo Switch owners, that every time there's like a big game like that, like Diablo 3, let's say Doom, forget about the first party games, but third party games that was available for the Xbox One and PlayStation 4, or even indie games that was available there and also PC, they will buy it even if they played it for the other system. They will buy it on Nintendo Switch because they want to play this on the go. So I think there's going to be a lot of people that play this game so many times, they're going to repurchase it again for just because it's just the Switch.
This is another example as to why cross-platform saves is mandatory.
Oh, my God. Tell me about it. I've been playing.
Because with as many hours as I sank into Diablo 3, if I were going to get back into it, I wouldn't want to have to regrind the hundreds of hours that I put into it on Xbox. So that being said, I hope that the online multiplayer services provided by Nintendo do this game justice.
This game is not online at all.
Four-player local co-op, four-player co-op, fully online co-op.
No, the version that you play, wasn't online, was it?
It was co-op because I played with friends.
So they're gonna have it probably co-op for the Switch.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it now. We'll let you play multiplayer in a number of different configurations from four-player local co-op on the same machine to four-player co-op on separate switches without an internet connection to fully online co-op to having some players local and others connected over the internet. That excerpt is from Kotaku.
Ooh, that's dope.
See, Philip? See, that's how
it's done. That's dope. Paris, you want to say anything about this?
Yeah, remember a long time ago when Nintendo had a really hard time getting third-party publishers to put their games on their platform? Remember that?
Yep.
That happened? It's funny. Now you got too damn many. Now it's too many damn many.
This is the first Blizzard game on a Nintendo platform in 15 years.
That is huge.
But it goes to show you, if you make a product that people like, third-party publishers will come. I mean, and that just goes to show you, Wii U and all that wasn't selling, so these third-party publishers were not going to invest the time and effort to port their games over to that platform. But now that the Switch is selling at a record pace, they're falling over themselves. Now you're going to actually start to see original games come to the Switch, like Ubisoft obviously already did when they partnered with Nintendo to do Mario Rabbids. You're going to see more of that kind of stuff. This is good for the industry. Now, like Pete said, the last piece of the puzzle is PlayStation, just enable crossplay across the board. Once we get that for all our games, so that no matter if you're on a Switch, Xbox, or PlayStation or PC, and you just pick up your save and just keep on going, then we're great. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, once that happens, gaming is going to be at an all-time high because now it's not going to matter. Like I said, my kids, you know, I've even taken pictures on Instagram and shown them. Where my kids, one of them's on the Switch, one of them's on the PC, one of them's on the Xbox, and they're all playing Fortnite together. That is freaking awesome.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know, with the Switch having more and more success, and, you know, you see publishers like Bethesda, I know I'm tangenting off, but you see publishers like Bethesda starting to put the pressure on PlayStation to get that done, it's eventually going to happen. So, exciting times. But, yeah, just going back to the original topic, I'm excited to see Diablo 3 show up on the Switch because it just means more and more games are going to show up on that platform. So it's a good thing.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Rockstar says, hey, we're going to release Grand Theft Auto 5 for the Switch. I wouldn't be surprised anymore, man.
And they should be able to because a Switch is technically more powerful than a 360. And it was on 360. Yeah. So they should be able to. I don't see why not. So it wouldn't surprise me to see that happen.
I mean, look at.
Yeah. I just don't know if we would see this the online like GTA online. I don't think that would be a service that could function. I mean, it might.
Why not?
Who knows?
I think it will. It will because of the service and all that stuff. Yeah, they will, man. They're not gonna. That's the money. That's the big part about that game. It's not because of the story. It's the online part. They're definitely gonna release it.
Right, and again, Nintendo is not known for the multiplayer and its online components. You know, it could do better. And I know we had a conversation in our Discord server earlier this week about Red Dead Redemption and why it didn't go on, why the original Red Dead didn't come to PC. And a lot of that was it was never in the works. It was never planned to, there was never a plan to go to PC. Secondarily, there was a former dev of Red Dead Redemption that stated in an interview or a discussion that the only way that they would do that is if there was a developmental and an opportunity to do it that didn't interfere with everything else. Mind you, that conversation was done while there was Max Payne and L.A. Noir and GTA all being developed in the background. So they didn't have the resources to do it. So, and because of that, over time, it just fell off of the need to do list. Right, 2018. I think it's a good. I don't see why Red Dead can't come to PC. And then going back to this, I just don't know if Bethesda or I'm sorry, I don't know. I just don't know if they're willing to devote the amount of resources towards putting GTA Online for the Switch.
You'd be surprised because right now I just read that game has over 100 million sold. And they want that extra money. Even if they're releasing Red Dead, release it for the Switch, the Grand Theft Auto, make some extra money while they have Red Dead out for the other consoles and it's not available for the Switch. Make the extra cash. I can see that happen for sure. And honestly, if they're porting that game to the Switch, they're not really wasting that much money to do that. They already have the talent, and that's it. They're good. So, all right. So the next topic, very quick. Black Ops 4 Battle Royale, the beta, Blackout, is officially coming out in September. I believe September 7th. Am I correct?
September 10th for PlayStation 4.
My bad,
10th, and you were wrong.
Sorry. 10th.
I can't read.
No, because I haven't clicked the link.
Not about that Gamescom. Remember, he was adamant on Gamescom.
Oh, that's right.
Wait. Hold on a second. How I'm wrong?
2 days.
Wait, I was wrong, Paris. We don't know. Gamescom is next week.
You said
they're going to make the announcement.
Then why they make the announcement now? Why not do it at Gamescom?
The date, but they're going to announce what is in the game.
Playable at Gamescom in that press release. They didn't say that. They said beta first on PS4. September 10th. That's what they said.
Yeah. But you know what? Next week, when we get to see Gamescom, all the videos, and if I don't see anything about Blackout, then I'm wrong. But right now, I'm not wrong.
He can't take the I'm wrong. He just can't take it.
No, I'm not wrong because
he won't accept it.
Gamescom hasn't even started yet. We don't know yet. Maybe that was just a teaser of the date, and we don't know what's going to happen next week. Hey, Paris, you were the one promoting, E3. E3 is the big stage. It's going to happen at PlayStation. Blah, blah, blah. And it didn't happen.
And then I said, well, then we're both going to be wrong.
Yeah, but you said you were wrong during...
That it won't be at Gamescom.
Paris, you said you were wrong during the week of E3. So right now, at Gamescom hasn't started, so I still have a chance, man. Give me a chance, brother. Come on, man. Show love.
By the way, you just reminded me of something, and I hate to go on this topic, but it was funny, and it highlights why I think it's so silly. There was this girl streamer that she had posted a meme, and she goes, and now I take off my fake mustache right after I just finished playing on stream with Ninja. Ha ha ha. And I was like, see, that's why it's so silly. So dumb.
That was funny. That was funny. But yeah, I'm curious. I'm super curious about this beta, about this mode. Is it going to be 100 players? what type of things you can do in there. Like, I'm just curious. Is it really fast paced, like the multiplayer of Call of Duty? I don't know. I have a lot of questions about this, man.
But you'll find out on September 10th with the rest of us, because you ain't finding out next week.
Or we find out next week. They probably show the first trailer or something. All right, if they show the trailer next week, Paris, then I'm right.
No. You're not right.
Wait, I'm not right.
No, because you said Gamescom. Playable at Gamescom. You said playable
I said playable or information at Gamescom.
Here we go. Here we go. Look at him. Here we go. Doing the moonwalk.
It's not the moonwalk. No, because you guys were like, PlayStation press conference.
And we were wrong. And here you are trying to moonwalk. Man. So no.
I'm not wrong. We're gonna wait.
And by
next
the way,
week.
for those that are listening, and if you got into the Black Ops beta before this last weekend, do not uninstall, because all you need to do is just leave it on your machine, whatever platform you're on. When they update it in September for Blackout, it's just an update to the file. You don't have to download or do anything.
Thank God you mentioned that, because I was about to delete the demo, the beta today.
Well, like one thing that like I had said when press release came out, said on Twitter, is that mode is like, my curiosity is at an all time high for everything that you're saying, Danny. We don't know how many players it's going to be. You know, what are the weapons going to be like? Vehicle. I mean, I'm so curious. What's the size of the map? All of that. I'm just dying to know. And then, our one nameless friend that is on the team, he's been tweeting the hell about that stuff for the past week. I don't know if you've been paying attention.
Oh, yeah, I have.
He's very excited for people to play it. So, I mean, I'm in. I'll be there September 10th, because, like I said, I didn't even play the multiplayer beta. I'm like, I played it at the event. I don't need to play the beta to know what it is. But this, I want to play. So I'll be there on the 10th. Yeah. I'll break away from Destiny and Spider-Man on the 10th to actually play it.
Now, my question to you guys:
are you going
to
play the PC or PlayStation 4?
It's going to be PS4 on the 10th. It won't be PC.
Yeah,
right.
So PS stuck. He has to wait until it's available for PC.
You got a PS4?
Not. I have a PS4. I would not be able to play it.
You're the PC guy, so I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. By the way,
why wouldn't I be able to play it on my PS4?
By the way, now, if this mode is under 100 players, the reaction of the crowd, I think a lot of the players are going to be really pissed off, and they're going to start dissing. Oh, this is not true Battle Royale. I know people are going to say that. If it's 100, less than 100.
I think it needs to at least be 50. I think that, or 48, whatever you got to do four-man squads. You know, I think as long as you can do that, you'll be fine.
Pete? Because you're the Battle Royale guy.
Yeah, I mean, so long as you got more people online than Islands of Nine at this point, because that game has done the Titanic fail song. So I don't know. It's going to be curious. Are they going to have solos, duos, and squads available for Blackout, or is it just going to be one single squads mode
for the beta? All those three is available for the beta. Yeah, but my question is it 100? Battle Royale in everybody's eyes is over. Is 100 players. Now, tomorrow, Battlefield, they're going to have also their press conference about their mode. Is that the Battle Royale mode? They're going to announce it tomorrow? Is it 100? Is it more? Because knowing EA and DICE, they probably will say it's not 100, but 110 or 120. That they could easily do that. Because honestly, back in the days, Battlefield, that's the first game that started with this whole big amount of players online playing. They were the ones that started all that back then.
They've done the 64 person with no problems. I wouldn't be surprised if they max, if that's their number that they go to, is 64 players.
64 players?
I think that's the current. Mag is the one you're thinking about.
Mag, how many players was that? Oh my God.
64 players. I want to say 64 on both sides. So it was 128 players.
Yo, that was a huge failure, that game.
I was never able to play that game because I spent more time downloading, because that was on PlayStation 3. Yeah. And I spent more time downloading and updating than I never got a chance to play it, even though I got into the Mag beta.
You try to play that, Paris? Mag?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How was it? Was it laggy? Laggy?
Yeah.
Laggy or no?
I mean, it was just ahead of its time. I mean, when you really think about it, I think Mag, if it came out today, would actually be pretty successful. Just ahead of its time.
Or at least have a chance. At least have a chance. Not a guaranteed success, but at least have a much better chance than Islands of Nine, I'll tell you that much. But
yeah, I heard those numbers dropped, huh? For that one, Pete?
Dude, I'm playing the Titanic fail song right now on the stream, and it's like, at last check, it's an averaging sub 300. We're talking like 250 players a night.
That's not good. All right. Anything else, guys, before we wrap it up? Anything else? No,
I think that's it.
Harris, anything good?
Can't think of anything else going on. I think that's pretty much it. We all finished Voltron now, right?
Oh my god, yo. So many questions. So much. Yo, the theories is crazy. Guys, whoever's listening to this.
There's a smile on his face. Like,
whoever's listening Voltron. To this, go watch Voltron. Even if you've never watched it on Netflix, start from scratch. The first episode is pretty long. That's the longest one. It's like an hour or so. But after that, it's 22 to 30 minutes. But man, the story is so good. And I'll say this, man, this season, man, I thought it was going to be hard to top the last season, the one before. They topped it, man. They topped it. So good. So good. But that's about it about Voltron. No spoilers. Cause you know, if knowing, I know P who probably will say so many things, you have to like mute him. So good. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback. Listen to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. I'm going to be in Columbus, Ohio this weekend. I'm going to hang out with Arctic, Trey, a bunch of other people, Marcus, everybody over there. And hopefully I'm going to record a couple of things over there too, man, at the event for the Call of Duty World League Championship. It's going to be a lot of fun over there. Anything else, guys, from you guys before we wrap it up? That's it.
No. If anybody's in San Francisco tomorrow after 2:30 p.m. local, want to hang out, go get a drink. Bye.
All right. Until next time. We're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.